You are listening to a broadcast from LifePoint Community Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Wherever you are at this point in life, we hope and pray that God will use the following message as a source of help and encouragement as you listen.
One other thing I wanted to let you know about as well, a very exciting thing. Some of you have been asking for this for quite a while. We have now online giving available through our website. For the older generation, that won't mean anything to you. I'm kind of in the middle there. But I've had some of our younger... I'm not in the middle. All right, well, we can debate that later. I've had a lot of our younger families tell me that they never write checks. They do everything online. They bank online. They pay their bills online. So this is just kind of a natural extension for that whole generation to be able to continue to be involved in supporting God's work. It's a very simple thing. You just go to give.lifepointsc.org, or you can just simply go to our website, and there's a button in the upper right-hand corner of the website that you can click and get to that page. And it's a really neat, it's a very simple thing. You can do a one-time gift, or you can set up automatic recurring giving that just simply comes out of your paycheck at whatever time you designate every month. So some people like that. Some people don't like that, but we've had some folks asking, and we wanted to make it available and just let you know that it is available. If you have your Bibles, open to Acts chapter 2. Second to the last Sunday today in our series in Acts. 2 weeks ago, we talked about how the early church was committed to the mission of Jesus. Last week, we talked about how the early church was committed to community, to being involved in each other's lives. And today I want us to talk about how the early church was committed to worship. What's the first thing that comes to mind when I say worship? Anybody want to just share anything? What? Church? Okay, good.
Music?
Okay. What else? What's that?
Show God his worth.
Show God his worth. Good. What? What else? Anything else? When you hear worship, what's the first thing that comes into your mind? Those are some good examples.
Praise.
Pray. Okay. Excellent. How many of you have friends or family members who one of the last things they would ever want to be doing is to be in this place right here, right now? Worshiping. I think we all know people like that. To them, when they think of worship, when they hear the word worship, the words that come to mind are religion, boring, church service, dry sermons. Hopefully that last one's not true. I struggled last week. I had a rough Sunday last week. It's one of those days where I couldn't put two words together. Just one of those days. See, when you guys have a bad day at the office, you can go in your office and close your door. When I'm up here in front of you and I have a bad day, it's not fun at all. I struggled, and I think it was like 500 degrees up here last week. I think the guys play tricks on me every once in a while. They change these light bulbs out to like 1,000-watt bulbs, and it just cooks me up here. Last week was one of those Sundays. But there are people who say, you know, worship? I don't do worship. But I want to tell you something this morning that a lot of people don't understand. Everybody worships something. Whether they ever set foot in a church service or not, everybody worships something. Worship is that which you hold most closely in the deepest recesses of your heart. I wrote down some things this week, just some thoughts. Here's one. Everyone worships what they value most. Here's another one. What you worship is what you pursue and what you become. In Acts, as we've been going through the story of the birth of the church, just prior to a couple of verses we're going to read today, there were 3,000 people who came to know Jesus. They were cut to the heart. They fell on their knees. They prayed. They asked for forgiveness. And they came to know Christ. And we've been looking at some of the aspects of their lives, some of the character traits of that early church. And those people, prior to coming to know Jesus, were not interested in true worship. But something changed the moment Jesus came into their heart, and we see them having a shift of their priorities, of their affections in life. Let's read these verses again, starting in verse 42 of chapter 2. We've read this section a lot because it's one of the key sections for the birth of the church. And I hope by the time we're done today and next week, you'll be very familiar with this section of verses. Acts 2, 42. Now, these people have just been saved, just prior to this, and now we're starting to see what happens to them. In verse 42, it says, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." I love the phrase there in that section that says, with glad and sincere hearts, they were praising God. And we see, as you read through this story further, you see a people who became committed to worshiping the one who had changed their lives. Jesus had something very interesting to say about worship in John chapter 4 when he was speaking to the woman at the well, and she was talking to him about worship. Jesus said this, "A time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers," underline that in your Bible, "true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth." Now watch this, "for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks." They are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. As we look through the Bible, we see lots of worship taking place. But what we need to remember this morning is that some worship pleases God and some worship displeases Him. There's no such thing as generic worship and it all makes God happy. You look through the Bible and you see worship taking place, and some of that worship, I mean, you just hear the adjectives that spill out of God's mouth as He's overflowing with joy, as it were, when He sees His people worshiping Him out of a fullness of their heart of devotion to Him, and He's just thrilled with their worship. But then you turn a few pages and you see other people worshiping God, and you see that it makes God sick to His stomach. There's some worship that pleases Him, and there's some worship that displeases Him. And one thing is clear, guys, if we want to be a church on fire, which is the title of this series in Acts, then we are going to have to be a people who are committed to worshiping God in a way that pleases Him. Now, I would think one of the key questions for all of us right now should be, well, wow, what kind of worship pleases God? And where do I fall on that meter? Well, I've taught on worship once before and took a totally different approach to it. If you were here that Sunday, you may remember that. And I told you that morning that worship is one of those topics that is, it's just a huge topic. I mean, where do you begin talking about worshiping an infinite God? who's all-powerful, all-knowing. Where do you even begin? I mean, worship is such a deep, such a complex subject. And yet, here's the weird thing. At the same time, worship is so simple that even a child can do it. And so today, I want to share with you as we kind of just, you know, I've kind of taken just a broad picture of worship from the Bible. And as you look at that, you see some things kind of rising to the surface that are prerequisites, if I can say that, to worshiping God in a way that pleases Him. And there are a lot of things we could talk about. I've picked three very simple things today to share with you. Please understand, this is not an exhaustive explanation of worship. There are other things we could add in here. I've left so much out that it's embarrassing. But three simple things that I see patterns of in the Bible of worship that pleases God. The first thing is dedication. We saw how the first church devoted themselves to doing what was right and to following God. We saw that several weeks ago. In fact, we read the verse today in Acts 2:42. They devoted themselves to all the following things in those verses. And I shared with you that morning how that the word in the Greek there is not just they devoted themselves one time. Remember I told you it means they were continually devoting. That's literally what the Greek says. They were continually devoting themselves to doing what was right, to following God. Before these people got saved, they had been committed to worshiping whatever in their life was important to them, just like all of us did before we came to know Christ. But after they got saved, they suddenly began dedicating themselves, devoting themselves to no longer worshiping the things from their former life. They began dedicating themselves to worshiping God. They devoted themselves. They dedicated themselves. I find it interesting when Nehemiah dedicated the walls that had been rebuilt. They weren't just dedicating the walls to God. They were dedicating everything within those walls to God. As you read the story, they dedicated the walls. They dedicated the houses that were attached to the walls. They dedicated the people inside. They were dedicating the businesses. They were dedicating the money. They were dedicating the relationships, the pursuits, everything within those walls they dedicated to God. One of the biggest problems in worship, I think, is that we often hold back certain parts of ourselves, certain areas of our life, from God. We need to remember why that's an important statement, because worship is not just music. Worship is the daily living out of every moment of our lives as followers of Jesus Christ. Our whole life is a living act of worship to God. And sometimes what we do, sometimes what I do, is I dedicate about 95% of my life to God. But there's an area or two that I hold back. And I keep for myself. And so I'm only bringing part of my worship to Him. Romans 12:1 is a verse that you've probably all heard. It reminds us to offer our bodies or ourselves, our entire self, offer ourselves as a living sacrifice to God, holy and pleasing to Him. Why? Because doing that is a spiritual act of, you ever caught this? Worship. And it's saying that if we want to offer a spiritual act of worship to God, we've got to dedicate, we've got to offer our entire selves to Him. When there's an area of my life or your life that we hold back from God, you know what we're really saying at the end of the day? What we're really saying is that area of our life falls outside of God's ownership. It's easy for us to dedicate Sunday morning to God. What about the other 6.5 days? I can remember in South Africa, I used to go and spend the night with some good friends of mine quite often. Sometimes I would end up spending a Saturday night with them and then go with them to their church on Sunday. And something used to strike me every Sunday morning without fail that I would see their home. And these were great people. I mean, they were Christians and, you know, wonderful people. But just to show you how this Sunday morning thing kicks in for us sometimes, how that Sunday morning is the time when we worship. The rest of the week is just our time when we do stuff. Every Sunday morning as we were getting up and getting ready, and we were young. I was probably about 10 at the time, and they had 3 kids, and so, you know, Sunday mornings were fun, getting everybody ready. And sometimes there would be arguing among the kids. And can you imagine that? That's a weird thing, right? And so that never happens in our home. But maybe in your home, sometimes kids argue, you know. And I remember, you know, the kids would argue back and forth or whatever, and things would get kind of cranky. And I remember the parents would say, "Now, children, this is Sunday morning. There will be no arguing." And I remember as like a 10 or 11-year-old boy hearing that and going, "Well, that just doesn't make sense. Why Sunday morning? Why do we just take that time of our lives and go, well, today there's no fighting, there's no arguing, everybody needs to get along because, you know, God's watching us this morning, so we got to be pleasing to Him." I would say to you today very quickly before I move on to the next point, and there's so much that could be said here about this dedication thing. We see it over and over again throughout the Bible where people dedicated all of themselves to God before they even thought about getting into the next step of worship. But I would say to you today, in every one of our lives, there are areas of our life that we hold back, that we've not dedicated to God. And when we're doing that and we try to live a life of worship to Him, or we come here and really get together for the other part of worship, which is singing and praising God, we're coming as incomplete before Him. God never accepted a partial dedication. It's all or nothing. And so I ask you this morning before we move on, is there an area of your life that the Holy Spirit is bringing to mind right now that you've closed the door on? You have rooms in your house that you don't let guests see? You know, "Wow, hey, somebody's coming over, close that door, quick," you know. It's a mess in there. And I've been in some people's homes for years, and there's a door that is always closed, and I want to know what's in there. And we've all got that. And yet in our spiritual life, when we talk about living lives of worship to God, when we talk about being beings of worship to Him, closing doors in our life and dedicating most of it, but not all of it, doesn't work with God. Is there a part of your life? And I can't tell you what that is, but the Holy Spirit is very capable of doing that. He spoke to me this week, preparing this, So what is it for you? Is there something in your life, a room, an area, part of your life that you're not giving to God? I would say to you today, there is no way that we can be true worshipers of God if we're not dedicating all of ourselves to Him. Dedication, the first step. Secondly, there must be sacrifice. Whenever people in the Bible would dedicate something to God, whether it was a new temple, a new building, dedicate themselves, their children, whatever, we see this pattern over and over again where they would always bring something to sacrifice before the Lord. It's an odd thing for us to get our minds around today because we don't offer animal sacrifices, and it just seems, frankly, let's just be honest, it just seems weird. It seems primitive and archaic and caveman-like. And we think about that and it's just like, well, that's just weird. I don't get that. A sacrifice, by its very definition, costs us something. We need to remember that true worship, does not come without a cost to us in some way. If a person thinks he can be a true worshiper of God without it costing him something, then I'm telling you this morning, he's mistaken. God made this statement to the Israelites. It's just one of those thunderous statements that stops you in your tracks. God said to his people, "Do not come before me empty-handed." And you go, well, wow, what's that all about? God said, if you're going to come to me, you bring an offering to me. You bring something to me that costs you something, and then you come to me. You go, what, does he have an ego problem? What is that? No, here it is. I want you to get this. And I don't ever want you to forget it. God said that. He said, don't come before me empty-handed, because he knows if he doesn't have our stuff, he doesn't have us. It's that simple. I love the story in 1 Chronicles where David was setting out to build a temple for God. This was a monumental occasion, and it had to be just right. It had to be just the right location. Everything had to be right. And there was a man who offered up his property to give to David. He said, hey, look, man, I'll give you this property for free so that you can build God's temple. You know what David said? David said in 1 Chronicles 21:24, I will not offer to the Lord a sacrifice that costs me nothing. He said, I refuse to take this for free. I want this to hurt somehow in my life. I want this to cost me something. Let's not think we can come here on Sundays and worship God in truth if we're not willing to sacrifice anything to Him first. Here's the thing, if a person is truly saved, there must come a time in their life, there must, where they deeply begin to desire to give of themselves to God, to sacrifice of themselves to God, because if that time never comes, I would seriously have to wonder if that person has truly had a life-changing encounter with Jesus Christ. There must come a time. When I was a kid, my parents used to take me to church. I had no say in the matter. And for years, I was just an attender. That's all I was. But as I got older and I got saved, there came a time when I didn't just want to be an attender anymore. I wanted to start giving of myself in some way. It was just an inward change that took place. I was not content with just showing up and singing the songs. There was a transformation that took place inside of me. I said, man, I want to give back in some way. And when I got my paychecks then and I looked at them, all of a sudden, I didn't see that whole paycheck as mine. It was weird. It was just a change that took place. I saw it as a gift from God, and I wanted to take that first portion and give it to Him. That was a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice for everybody who does that. Because there had been a change in me, and I wanted to give back to the one who had given His all to me. And there are many ways that we can give of ourselves to God to be true worshipers. It's not just the first portion of our income. I would suggest to you, though, that if you do have a job and you are making money and you still are digging in your heels, refusing to give that little first portion to God, whether it's this church or whether you go to another church, it doesn't matter. It's the principle. I would say to you this morning, if you call yourself a worshiper and you're holding on to that first little portion of your income, I'd tell you, you need to get on your knees and have a serious talk with God. Because if God doesn't have your stuff, He doesn't have you. That's why the principle of giving is so deep through the Bible. That's one of the first strongholds in our life that God has to break. He knows we work hard for our money. He knows we want to keep it all. And that's why He gives us that test. Really? You really love me? You really call yourself a worshiper? Just this one little thing I'm going to ask you to do. And so many times you go, no, I'll do something else, but not that. Because that's the key. I mean, that's why you hear pastors talking about money so much. And I know sometimes it's done in the wrong way. That's just because those pastors are human. And we all mess up when we say things sometimes. Sometimes it all comes out wrong. But that's a deeply embedded principle in the Christian life, part of our worship. But it's not just about our paycheck. It's about the living of our lives. You know what? There was a lot of worship going on this past week all over this building. A lot of worship. You can still see some of the leftovers of it there, Vacation Bible School. All of you guys who participated in that, whether it was bringing items to help, whether it was coming here every night and exhausting yourself, you guys tired? I've heard so many people go, man, I'm exhausted. It was a tough week. And so many of you came and you helped and you worked. You know what you were doing? You were worshiping because you were sacrificing your time and your energy and your effort. One of our elders was on trash duty every night at VBS. One of your elders every night was dragging out dirty trash bags. One night he had a load of stinky diapers that we almost had to call hazmat to come and deal with it. It was so bad. One of your elders was here every night taking out dirty diapers to the trash can. You know what he was doing? He was worshiping God because he was sacrificing of himself to do that. Man, I need to move on. Let me just ask you one very tough question. Is your faith costing you anything? Because if it's not, you've got an empty faith. We talked about this a few weeks ago. You travel overseas, I challenge you, you travel anywhere in the country where Christians are persecuted. Maybe not openly, but they're just suppressed and there are laws against them. I mean, be it China, the Middle East, the Sudan. You go and you be around those believers, and you want to talk about their faith costing them something? I would be embarrassed to preach this point to those people. I'd be embarrassed. Is your faith costing you anything? I know y'all looking at me like you wish I'd be quiet and sit down. I understand. That's why Jesus always said to the crowds, by the thousands who were clamoring after Him to get in on all the good stuff, that's why He constantly turned to them, the Bible says, and I love the way it includes that. They were following Him, yay, Lord, we want to be part of your deal. And He would turn to them over and over again. He'd say, you want to follow me? Well, here's the deal. You're going to have to leave father and mother and brother and sister and houses and lands and so on and so on, and follow me. Oh, I didn't read that in the contract. You want to follow me? You're going to have to take up your cross, which means you're going to have to die, and you're going to have to follow me. Oh, whew, look at the time. I got to go. And the Bible says again and again, from that day on, many turned back and followed him no more. To the point one day where it must have been such a dramatic departure that he turned to the people who were left, which was his 12 disciples, and said, "You're going to leave me too?" Because people want to get in on the worship thing, but only if it doesn't cost them something. I'll tell you guys, faith is not cheap. And if your faith is not costing you anything, I would encourage you this week to do a serious evaluation of whether you're really in this deal or whether you just need to move on and just forget about the whole Jesus thing. It's going to cost you something. There's got to be dedication. There's got to be sacrifice. And I would suggest to you then that those two steps, and there are others, but those two main steps then can lead us to the third step, which we all know about, which is celebration of worship. We see true worship taking place throughout the Bible. We see people either individually or corporately praising God and celebrating His goodness. And here's the thing. We see those people doing that not only when times are good, but when times are not so good. Celebrating and praising God when times are not good. A friend of mine shared with me something this week that he heard another pastor say. And he said, so often we look at God through the lens of our circumstances, when what we really need to be doing is looking at our circumstances through the lens of God. I don't have to tell you, these are tough times for a lot of people in this country. But you know what? Our tough times in this country would be a welcome afternoon in the park for most Christians in most countries around the world. Which lens are you looking through? One of the things that worship does for us, get this, is it causes us to stop looking at God through the lens of our circumstance, and when we come and praise Him, regardless of the circumstances, it shifts the lenses, and worship actually causes us to see our circumstances through the lens of God. There are days in life when we feel like cursing instead of praising. Are you with me, church? I have days when all I want to do is curse. Don't fire me over that one. I mean, I'm just letting you know I'm real. I have days when it's just easier to curse than it is to praise. But I tell you, when we gather here every Sunday, what we're doing is we are choosing to speak praises and blessings regardless of the circumstances in our lives. That's why this time, listen, I've told you, the Christian life, church, is not all about this hour on Sunday, but I'm telling you, this hour on Sunday is a powerful moment in our lives. We should never treat this casually. We should never treat this like just an item on the calendar. Because what happens when we come here together, we are choosing not to curse. I don't mean using swear words. I just mean, you know what I mean. We're choosing not to curse our circumstances. We are choosing for this hour together to speak words of praise and blessing. And I'm telling you, it does something to us. It resets a switch inside of us. It's so important.
Bible says God inhabits the praises of His people. There's so many ways, as I said, that we can express our worship to God. We can express it through serving others in His name. As I mentioned, when we give the first portion of our income to Him, when we live out our lives in obedience to Him, all of those things are expressions of worship to God. But I'll tell you this. Here's something else I wrote down this week. There is something that happens when believers gather together and worship God that cannot be matched by anything else on this planet. Nothing can equal the potential of what can happen inside of us when we're here together, gathered in His name, singing praises to Him. It cannot be matched by anything else in this life. But so often we miss that moment because we're so focused on other things. If we catch ourselves in a worship service saying, "Oh gosh, really? This song again? Didn't we do this like 2 weeks ago? What's wrong with him? Why?" You know what you're doing? You're disengaging yourself from true worship. Really? The lights are on instead of off? What? We're standing instead of sitting? Well, where did she get that dress? I don't have a parallel illustration for men on that one. I don't even know. I don't know what men think about. It's not clothes, I can promise you that. Do we understand what happens when we come here? And when we engage in that celebration part of worship? Do we really understand? Would it have been easier for us to understand the importance of that moment if we had been back in Old Testament days when God appeared as a flaming pillar of fire that lit up the countryside and people stood there and said, "Wow, we better not goof around. That's God." Listen, guys, He's here. And we so often miss that moment, that opportunity of engaging with Him here in our praises and letting our circumstances take a flying leap for an hour. We so often miss it because we're so disengaged with what's going on. If we never become fully focused on the one we're here to worship, I'm telling you, we're falling short in this area of true worship to God. God is displeased by worship that takes place from a heart that is detached from Him. Jesus said, "These people worship me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." May that never be said of you and me. I know we have Sunday mornings when we're distracted and life is busy, but I want to encourage you. I want to raise the bar for us. Every time you walk in here, every time we hear David or Johnny get up and pray and open our service, every time the first note is hit up here, we ought to be deliberately focusing in on why we're here and taking all of those other unimportant things and throwing them out the window. We are here to worship the God of heaven. And it's a powerful thing. So easy for us to have all the external elements in place and yet be completely unattached internally to Him. Can I just take a quick minute and just sort of step aside from this and just talk to you guys about something? Maybe you sense this too. I know a lot of you do because I've talked to you about it and you've talked to me about it. I just want to address this. As a church family, I don't know what it is, but I feel like so often here on Sunday morning, we get so close I want to be careful what terms I use here, but we get so close in our worship to really breaking through, to letting go, and to truly worshiping God. I don't know what it is, but I just feel like so often we're bound by a spirit of hesitancy here at LifePoint. I felt it so often. You guys know what I'm talking about? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? We worship and we sing and it's so close. I just feel like if all of us would just abandon everything to do with our lives and see Him only, I feel like we would step across a line that we've come so close to so many times. I want to encourage you today to take a new look at worship. Understand what it is. And maybe the words of this brief video will help describe.
To me, worship is breathing.
To me, worship is a lifestyle.
Anything we do that says to God, you are God.
Worship is what you do when you go out into the community, when you're around your friends.
Me wanting to be what He wants me to be.
Adoration.
Aside from prayer, worship is my high-speed connection to God.
Worship is about our heart when we bring it to Him.
When I'm truly worshiping, my heart is overcome with thankfulness.
I am vulnerable.
I'm completely engulfed. I'm completely in tuned to God.
You're just speaking to God, but the lyrics, the words, and God speaks back to you.
I want it to be from me.
I want to abandon all modesty and just worship my God.
God can have a personal experience and worship with everyone in that room.
And so it's almost like a conversation with God, almost a prayer.
When I worship, I want God to be magnified.
When I worship, I want God to be pleased.
I want God to be front and center.
I want God to laugh with me.
I want God to be happy.
When I worship, I want God to be lifted up.
I want there to be a knowing that Crystal came and she brought all of her and she was sincere.
I want Him to be exalted.
I want Him to be in the spotlight. I want Him to be the focus. I want Him to have the rightful place that only He deserves in my life.
When I worship, I want God to be my friend.
And I want Him to know how thankful and grateful I am for all the things that He's done for me.
I want Him to feel the joy that is in my heart because I'm so grateful to Him.
Because He sent His Son to die for me.
I want to close with one photograph in just a second. Did you know that spectating is the most popular sporting event in America? Every week, hundreds of thousands of people gather in stadiums across this country or in front of their televisions, and they watch sporting events. Only a few participate. And sadly, we bring that same mentality into the church. We think when we come here and we sit out there, we're the spectators. And these people up here and me, we're the show. And you come to watch what's going on up here. I would tell you this morning that that is not biblical. And I would tell you that you are not the audience. You are not the spectators. I would say to you that you are the participators and God is the audience. So few people are willing to step out. A friend of mine emailed a picture to me a while back that I've got to show you today. It's just striking.
This photograph was snapped at a baseball game. Rain clouds moved in and hit, and everybody scrambled up under the covering for safety. There was one little girl who said, "Forget that, man. I'm going to have fun." And she stepped out into the rain, and I love that photograph. Just standing there in the rain, soaking it in, having a ball, while all the adults are watching safely from a distance. Can I encourage you, church, this morning to step out? To step out in worship to God? When we sing some songs in just a little while to close this service, I want to encourage you, don't be a spectator. Abandon everything else that's calling for your attention and step across that line and let's worship God like He was here. Because you know what? He is. Let's pray. If you're here this morning or listening over the internet and you have never taken that first step of inviting Jesus into your life, that for you is the first step to worship. You can't worship someone you don't know. I would encourage you in this moment right now to just ask Jesus into your life. He's already forgiven your sins. All you have to do is accept the gift. For those who do know Him, maybe in one of these areas we've talked about, maybe in the dedication part, you're holding back something from Him. Today's the day you can let that go and give it to Him. Maybe it's the sacrifice part that you've wanted a cheap faith. That you just haven't been willing for your Christian faith to really cost you anything. And maybe He's speaking to you in some area right now where you need to have a costly faith. Or maybe it's in the celebration part where you come here and you've just been a spectator. I would encourage you today to step out. Be engulfed in Him and truly worship. Father, thank You for this time together. Thank You for the reminder from Your Word. May we never lose sight of who You are. And may our worship to You, not only in the 6.5 days of our week, but in this one morning we have together each week, may it be an absolute explosion of our praise to You because of who You are. May we see You for who You are. I ask in Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to a broadcast from Life Point Community Church in Greenville, South Carolina. More teaching resources are available from our website at lifepointcc.org. If this broadcast has been a blessing to you today, we would love to hear from you. You can contact us directly from our website, or you can write to us at P.O. Box 27036, Greenville, South Carolina, 29616, USA. Thanks again for listening. May God bless you.